And this year, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. No, I'm going to do something I told you to do, and I didn't do it. I'm going to Proverbs 18. Father, thank you for your word. I'm going to go up the verse before. It says, thank you, Father. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Let me read it again. A man's belly will be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips will he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Next verse says, he that findeth the wife finds a good thing. You got a good thing. So I believe this year is going to be especially important to watch what you say. Watch what you say. You know, it says that Israel is fallen and Judah is decayed. It says because their tongue and their actions were against the Lord. Their tongue and their deeds were against the Lord. See, there's a lot there. There is a whole lot there. All right, we're going to talk about the heart today. See, it's important that those words fall in a good ground. See, God's given us good ground for these words we speak, his word, to fall into that ground. And so, I want to start in Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 7 says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then there should have been no place sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a what kind of covenant? With the house of Judah and with the house of Israel, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not. What does continued mean? If you continue in my word, John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. In my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Say, that's where we are today, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old has vanished. So in the new. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And you look at that. You remember that little saying we got there in the coffee shop? Your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are seeds. You can sow flowers or you can sow weeds. One thing about it, the law of sowing and reaping will always remain in effect. He said, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. Always, always. So every word you speak are seeds. They're going to produce after their kind. Amen? God said in Isaiah 55:10, I think it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as heaven's higher than the earth, so is my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts and your thoughts. And he says, the word that goes out of my mouth will not return void, but it will accomplish, it will prosper in the thing whereunto I've sent it. For you will go out with and be led with peace, and the mountains and the hills will spring before you into singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Hallelujah. That's his word that goes out of my mouth. You know, as I looked at this, those words that you speak, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But they are mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, there's only two sources of your thoughts. See, as you start thinking about this year, or you thinking about what's going on today or whatever, your thoughts can either be motivated by fear or by faith. And they produce after their kind. You know, you got to be careful what you're thinking. You know, I was thinking today, I was looking out here at about 10:30, and we had about three or four people here. And your thoughts could start thinking, well, look at all that empty. I say, I don't look at the empty. I'm not moved by what I don't see. I'm not moved by what I don't see. You with me? Because those thoughts produce anxiety. So why do we want to be anxious? He says, be anxious for nothing. But everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. This is the year to keep your hearts in mind. You know, Proverbs 4 says what? He gives us that heart. Keep that heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Out of your heart flows. See, we're in the flowing this year. You got to keep your heart right. Keep it right. Because he's giving you a new one, so you got to keep it. Now, bring into captivity every thought. You know there in 2 Corinthians 2:11? That's good. We got to put a new TV up here. I just had a thought. 2 Corinthians 2:11. I'll tell Rod my thought later. 2 Corinthians 2:11. He says here in verse 10, to whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, I forgave it in the person of Christ. All right. And he's talking about the man that had sinned, and he said that you sent him outside the church, and then if he repented, so now you confirm him and bring him back in, says. Lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This word devices here is the same word as thoughts. Satan's devices always work through thoughts. Say thoughts. His devices are your thoughts that he puts in your mind and gets you programmed to think. That's his little devices that he uses for you. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay. I can see my notes. Verse 1, would to God you could bear with me in a little folly. Indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as certain has beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. The word mind, guess what? Same word. Devices, thoughts. See, that's the way things work in your life. Those thoughts. You have two sources. And that's why 2 Corinthians is so important, chapter 10. Bring into captivity what? Every thought. That way you can discern the thoughts that come. You can discern where they're coming from. Are they producing fear or are they producing faith? So this is especially a good time to start making sure that your thoughts are not moving towards fear and unbelief and doubt and all that other stuff. Right? Give no place to the devil in this stuff. Because it's the good ground we're looking at. And those are the sources. Philippians chapter 4. Oh, thank you, Lord. All right, verse 6 says, be careful or anxious. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's where we said we'll go. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep them. Shall do what? Keep it. See, it's important that you see that God's going to keep it. Keep your minds and your hearts in place. Colossians 3:1, if you be risen with Christ, do what? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Now let's go back. The natural mind is not subject to God, neither indeed can it be, can it? Impossible for the natural mind to be set on God. But you have the mind of Christ. You have a new mind. He's given you a new mind. And he said, what did we just read here in Hebrews 8? I'll put my law. Guess what? That what is, let's have a drink. I know this bugs the people listening to this on the internet, but just come on over and you can see what's going on. says, I will put my law. Now, what law do we live by now? The law of liberty in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. I have put my law in your hearts. He said, I've written them in your mind. You'll not teach every man, do you know the Lord? Every man's going to know me. Why? Jeremiah 24:7 says, I'm going to give you a heart to know me. Amen? Not think about, know him. He's going to give us a heart to know him. That's what we have. We got a heart to know him. And we don't have to say, know the Lord. You're going to know him. In the new creation, you're going to know him. In that law of liberty in Christ. And I want you to see something here. As I was thinking about this morning, this verse came to me in Romans chapter 2. And I'm going to start in about verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. When the Gentiles, say that's me, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of God written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. The Gentiles, which have not the law, but you have that new law of liberty inside of you right now. That law of liberty is discerning what's right and what's wrong going on in your life. You don't need anything but the law of liberty. You stand fast in that liberty, wherewith Christ has made you free. And don't. That's the law of God, the law of liberty, the law of love working in your hearts. It's not a struggle. It's just you learn just to walk in that thing. It's guiding you. You're a law unto yourself. Because you're living by the law of another. And it's the law of love. The law of liberty in Christ Jesus has what? Made you free from the law of sin and death. Sounds good to me. You know, that's when James says, 1:25, whosoever looketh in this perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, shall be just in everything he does. Amen? In Romans 8, there is therefore now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ. For the law of liberty in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. And the reason we don't read the rest of that, because it's not in the original. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Remember, there's only two sources for your thoughts. Get a hold of that. That's why your warfare, you're not battling flesh and blood. It's not guns and ammunition and all this other stuff that some of us carry. It's not about all that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. It always starts by imaginations in your mind, but he can move you over to fear. God uses imaginations, but he can give you an imagination of what it means to be an overcomer, to be more than a conqueror. You know, we was in a pastor's meeting this week, and Paul said, I think it's the best we ever had. I'm telling you, we got up there in the heavenlies, didn't we? We got up there in places where a pastor can't preach that kind of stuff because people think they'd lost it. But you know what I told them? That's natural for a Christian. These things are not out there. This is where we ought to be all the time. Because we're not natural, we're super. Oh, not. We're spiritual, is the scriptural word. We're spiritual. We're spiritual. If you be risen with Christ, and where are you seated today? With him in heavenly places. That's where you're seated at today. You're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wherever he is, you are. You know, surely the presence. When you walked in here, the presence walked in here with you. You don't have to ask the presence to come. You don't ask Holy Spirit come. When you walk in here, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit walks in here with you. We just acknowledge that his presence is here. See, that's part of it. You don't want to lower yourself by saying, come Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's already in you. See, that's a whole new way of thinking. That other's tied in unbelief because that's tied into thinking you're here and he's there. No. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Never. What part of never do we not understand? See, we got to quit this thinking that he's up there and we're down here. No, not at all. He's here. Most High doesn't dwell in temples made by hands. It's not this building that we want the glory in. It's this temple we want the glory in. The Most High doesn't dwell in buildings. He lives in temples. And the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former, saith the Lord. And in this place will I give irene, peace. The word peace is the word for a bone broken, coming back to peace. That's the Greek word, coming back to peace. Woo, coming back. That's what he's made for us. It's called the gospel of what? Peace. It's the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of what? Peace. My peace, he said, I give to you. Not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Don't be anxious. He's in control. All right. Isaiah 51:7 to the Christians. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, for we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. The people in whose heart is my law. Fear not ye there the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them one heart. That word one is the word unity or union. I will give them a union heart. You know why it's a union heart? Because it's his heart. The heart he gives you is his heart. That's how come you know him. I'll give you a heart to know me. Why? It's his heart. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I'll take away the stony heart of law, a heart of flesh, and out of their heart. Now give them a heart of flesh. And the law was for the old commandments were for the old heart, to keep it in place. The old law. The new law is for you to know him. He says, I'll give you a new heart. Now, this is Ezekiel, guys. Oh, come on now. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. What is made? With the heart you believe, but something has to happen. What has to happen? Your confession needs to change. With the heart you believe, but your mouth is going to start telling what you believe. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. For whosoever, say that's me, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be delivered, saved, delivered, set free. We have been delivered. We've been made righteous, set free. You know, you look at this. Oh, man. Yeah, I am. While I'm here, go to Romans chapter 11. You know, in Romans 11, he's talking about that Israel's been cut off, and you're a wild vine, you've been grafted in. But it goes on down to say here, verse 20, because of unbelief they were broken off, and we're standing by faith. Don't be high-minded, but fear, for if God spared the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity towards thee. Goodness, if you continue in his goodness. What is the enemy after? To keep you out of his goodness and to keep you into fear, doubt, unbelief. And he says, also, you'll be cut off from what? You're not literally cut off, but what happens when you get into wrong thinking? Your righteousness, peace, and joy go out the door. Anxiety, fear, dread comes in its place. Okay? Why do you want to get separated from that? And he says, behold the goodness and the severity. Okay. Now, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God's able to graft them in. For if you were cut out of an olive tree which are wild by nature and was grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which are natural branches grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own concepts. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We don't know at what time that's going to happen. One of these days, when the fullness is over, it's over. Full means full. But look what it says. And so all Israel, say all Israel, shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion, say that's Jesus, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from who? Jacob. Why is he called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why is he not called the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Israel? I mean, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel. It's Jacob. Why? Because he's turning all ungodliness away from Jacob. Listen, that's what he's done for you. He's turned all ungodliness of Adam away from you. You know, it just hit me. Time and time again, he talks about Israel. He talks about Jacob in the same verse. And he says, you'll not be called Jacob anymore. You're going to be called Israel. Look at hundreds of times he talks about Israel and Jacob. And he's calling out to Jacob. And he's going to turn all ungodliness away from Jacob. And he says, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. What's he done for you? Taken away your sins. That means we get a fresh start, a brand new fresh start. I don't know how all this works, but I know Romans 10, it says with the heart, this old corrupted heart that's good for what? Nothing. In this old heart, I'm going to believe for a new one. And I'm going to have a new heart. Right? Because he said, I'm going to give you a new heart. And I believe that's why he wants you to keep that heart that he gives you with all diligence. That old heart has been exchanged for a new heart. Now, Jacob, he said, I'm going to take all ungodliness away from Jacob. How much is all? And I will not remember that. This thing's better than we realize it is. This thing's a lot better than we really think it is. And you look at this. Now, look with me in Isaiah. I'm just studying out loud. Is that okay if I just study out loud? Because I kind of like studying out loud. Isaiah 59. Oh, this is good. I'd like to read it all. Verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Is that what we just read in Romans chapter 11? The Redeemer shall come to Zion. Who is Zion? That's the church. That's the church. The Redeemer has come to his church, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob. From transgressions of Jacob. For as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that's on me, and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your seed, or out of the mouth of your seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. That's household salvation. Turn away transgressions from Jacob. You got it? That's what we just read in Romans. See, that's the new covenant. That's part of the new covenant, is to take away sins. Take away sin. That's what he's done. Now, I want to go to Isaiah 27. Okay. Whew. Where do I want to start? Verse 5, or let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me and shall make peace with me. And he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. You hearing something here? Them of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom in blood and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten him and smote those that smote him? Or has he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when he shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with him. He stayeth his roughly wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged. The iniquity of Jacob be what? Purged. And this is the fruit And this is all the fruit of it taken away, take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar and the chalk stones that are beaten asunder and the groves, an image shall not stand. I see that's what he's saying there. Religion is not going to stand. When he does this, it's all going to fall. It's all going to crumble. You getting it? Just meditate on it. You will for long. All right. I want to look at another scripture. Oh, come on now. Zechariah chapter 3. And he showed Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this the branch plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he said, and answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I have clothed you with an exchange of garments. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel protested to Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you'll walk in my ways, and if you'll keep my charge, and shall keep and judge my house, and keep my courts, I will give thee the places to walk among these that stand by. Now hear, O Joshua the high priest, and thy fellows that sat before thee, for all men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Woo, I get goosebumps. But see, there's an exchange. Take away all the old. I'm going to give you the new because my branch is here. Oh, man. You just want to read the whole thing. Look in chapter 4 there. It says, who is this old great mountain? Verse 7, before Zerubbabel. That thou shalt become a plain. It looks like a mountain, but speak to that mountain. And what did he say? And he shall bring forth the headstone with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. What is he saying? Shout grace to your mountain. Shout grace to your mountain. When your mountain comes up, just shout grace. And that mountain's going to come a plain in front of you. It's not about anything but grace. Grace, grace unto it. Woo! The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house, and the hands shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Oh, for who hath despised the day of small things? Don't despise the small things, even as seed as small as a mustard seed, is the kingdom. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, how much time have I got left? Oh, I'm doing good. Matthew chapter 13. The same day when Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, a great multitude was gathered together unto him, so that he went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed some seeds, and it fell on the wayside, and the fowl came to devour them up. Some fell among stony places where it had not much earth, and forthwith it sprang up, because it had no depthness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns choked them up. Others fell into good ground. Say good ground. And brought forth some 100, some 30, some 60. He that hath ears, let him hear. The disciples came and said, why are you speaking in parables? And he said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And you never get it all, you just get it as it comes. But to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whoever has not, shall be taken away even what he has. Therefore spake I in parable, because they see and see not, and hear not, neither do they understand. That's the word, understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart, what's the issue here? This whole parable is about the heart. This parable of the sower, it has nothing to do with anything but this heart. All the things that can happen to this heart. And he says, their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Say, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Healing's better than health. I mean, health is better than healing. Health is good. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, your ears, for they hear. That's you. For verily I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. Now hear the parable of the sower. When anyone understands the words of the kingdom. Understands what? I want to just stop right there. What's the words, the seeds that's being sowed? It's the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom. It's not church. It's not religion. It's the words of the kingdom. That's the thing the enemy hates more than anything, is the words of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the words of the kingdom that Satan comes to take out of your hearts. So you don't understand. He don't mind you thinking about church or religion or all this other stuff. It's the words of the kingdom that he wants out of your hearts. But you know what it says in Luke 8? He says, but he that with an honest and a good heart, the seed falls into an honest and a good heart, the good ground, is going to bring forth some 30, 60, and 100 fold. What is a good heart? Starts out, I'll give you a heart to know me. I'll put my laws into your heart. I'll write them in your mind. And you'll be my people and I'll be your God. Now, it's not the old heart, because he says the whole heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And it's not subject to God, never will be. So he doesn't put all that in your old heart. He gives you a new heart. It's like the computer. John, he gives you a computer with all of it already in it. You got a computer with all that in it. But now, we need the Holy Spirit or John to help us know what's in them, depending on whether you're going with one or the other. See, that's the way it is. It's all there. It's all in that new heart. But we got to find out, understand what it is, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring all that out. 130, 60, 100 and fold, depending where you are in your walk with the Lord. But I'm telling you, this stuff is new every morning. You wake up every morning. It's a whole new thing every morning. Whew. Ezekiel 18:31, he says this. See, listen to God's heart all the way through the Old Testament. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you've transgressed against me, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And you know what he says? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked repent and come back to me. He has no pleasure in all this other stuff. And he's done everything in the world, I mean everything, to bring us freely back to him. If we just hear it. But all this other stuff keeps you from it. Remember, I don't know how many times I've quoted this, and I'll probably quote it till I go on and be with the Lord. Ezekiel 36, and I'm going to start in verse 25 this time. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you will be clean from all your filthiness. How much of your filthiness? All your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you, and a new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away that stony heart. What is a stony heart? That's the law, isn't it, John? Because it's written on stone. It's the law. It's the old heart. I'll take away the stony heart. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. And I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways. Cause you? That goes back to what we talked about in Romans 2. The Gentiles which have not, just do by nature. I'm telling you, this whole thing is so, he says, I pray that lest the eyes of your understanding, he says, lest Satan blind you to the simplicity that's in Christ. This thing is so supernaturally natural that it's just natural. It's all the old stuff we've been taught that keeps us from moving into the natural of the Spirit. The natural things of the Spirit. Mm. Remember Jeremiah 24:7, I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord and they are my people, and I'll be their God, and they'll return to me with what? Their whole heart. You know, 2 Kings 23, verse 25 and 26, it talks of Josiah. And it says that there was no king like Josiah. And he returned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. There was no other king that ever did that. But the things Israel had done was so bad that even that didn't get him off the hook. And I thought it's really neat that he said he returned with his whole heart, his mind, and his soul. And see, that's what God wants to give us and has given us in all three of those places. Jeremiah 32:36, I will make an everlasting covenant, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. Hebrews 10:16, I put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, the law in heart and mind. The new covenant is put in our mind, written in our hearts. Is that good? Well, I think I'll stop right there. It's good stuff. See, this thing is a lot easier, a lot simpler than we've made it. He's done it. Shout, for the Lord has done it. So what are we going to do? We're going to keep what he's given us. Guard it. That word keep, guard it. Just guard your hearts. You be in charge of what comes in, what goes out. You know, I told you about that prophet that told Wayne and I she was from, who was she from? Wichita Falls. We sat down with her in Amarillo, and she looked at Wayne and told him exactly what we talked about all the way to Amarillo. Boy, I just got goosebumps. And she says, your church is on the northeast side of town. You have pastors that meet with you once a week. And he says, you pastors determine what comes into that town and what goes out. Did you hear that? Sometimes we don't know we have that authority. He said, you have power to determine what comes in and what doesn't. So you have power in your life to determine what comes in and what doesn't come in. That authority Jesus has given to every one of you. You determine everything that has to do with you based on what he said about you. So guard your heart. Keep it with all diligence. For out of it flows the very issues of life. This is going to be a good year. Say, this is going to be a good year. We're not going to regard anything. We're going to walk in faith this year. We're not going to be moved by what we see or don't see. Amen? All right, let's stand and let's have a blessing.
The word gave me for this year was, it's the scripture that Dorman quoted in Isaiah 55. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And there's a lot of us got to be making decisions this next year. And one of the ways that we can guard our hearts and our minds and determine whether it's of the new or the old, does it lead into joy and does it lead into peace?
Yes.
And if it doesn't lead into those two things, it says, if it doesn't lead into those two things, then you need to cast it aside. Don't do it. Don't go there. Don't allow that thought pattern to continue if it's not producing joy and peace in your life for this next year. Anyway, it says, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace.
Dorman and me, we didn't talk about his sermon. I didn't know what he was going to preach on today. But, you know, all week the Lord had been telling me that what we say we can have. Yes. What we say we can have. And to set our minds on him. And so this morning, as we declared over each one of your families, health and wholeness for the year, that you are healthy. Now, I want you to take that and know and declare that and know that it is yours. This is the year that you can walk in complete divine health. And it is already done because Jesus paid for it. So this year, you know that it is yours. I think the knowledge, when we don't know something, when we are, you know, Satan tries to take it, like Dorman said, from our minds and tries to implant fear and take the faith away. But when we stand in faith and know that it is ours, we can have what we say. Declare that this year.
This book we just finished reading, he said in this book, God said to him, said, I've told my people they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. Did you get it? They're saying what they have, not calling those things that be not as though they were. You can have what you say. Quit saying what you have. Amen? Well, let's stand. Well, the Lord has blessed you abundantly. And he has given you everything in Christ Jesus. He has blessed you. And he's caused his grace and his face to shine upon you. And he's given you peace. So go out with peace and be led forth with joy. And the mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing. And I just got cut off. So I guess I'm through. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.